Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
Welcome to Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Fran Mirabella is with me today.
Hey, what's up, Destin?
And we have Patrick from Planet Destiny.
Howdy.
We're going to be talking about trials today, but first, Fran, you wanted to say something right in the top.
Yeah, it's a bit of a somber note, obviously. I think everybody knows about what happened in Nepal with the earthquake. Devastating. You know, a lot of people have lost their lives looking for homes, and Bungie's done a really cool thing that you can head to the store, and all the proceeds go to charity if you buy a t-shirt, and you're going to get an emblem reward and a shader reward. They're still working on that stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's an awesome cause. Even if they weren't doing it, check it out, because it's just such a worthy cause. So we just wanted to throw that at the top of the show, and thank you to Bungie for putting that together.
Yeah, thanks for calling that out, friend.
Yeah, thank you.
And anyway, moving on, we're going to be talking a lot about Trials of Osiris today, the weapons that we should be using and stuff. But first, Patrick, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
All right. Well, I started out at Planet Destiny pretty much right when we started out. I was recruited off of Reddit. I was making some really bad weapon reviews there. I got like four exotics within the first week. And so I just decided to post weapon reviews there. And then Ryan, the community manager, contacted me through a Reddit post, and the rest is kind of history. I started out just doing the text reviews on the site, and now I do most of the video content that we put out on our YouTube. I'm the host of the Planet Destiny podcast as well. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I actually was perusing your website looking for, like, my best ideal loadout.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about that on the show today, which is why we have you on.
Great.
We figured you'd be a good guy to talk to about legendaries and exotics.
I hope I am.
First up, though, just for people who aren't aware, why don't we talk a little bit about Trials of Osiris, what it is, and how it works.
Yeah.
Fran, what have you taken from it so far?
Man, yeah, well, it's funny. You hear this question a lot because it's got a few facets to it. So it is elimination-style gameplay, mm-hmm. which means that when you die, you are down and your teammate needs to revive you. Mm-hmm. It's 3v3. And you do need to put your team together. You know, I thought Bungie said it well, is you have to find your friends, but we'll find your enemies. So that's a good way to remember it. And it's going to be one map on the weekends that's going to, you know, kick off basically at 10 a.m. on Friday Pacific time and go all the way till it seems like Tuesday at the reset at 2 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
That's roughly it. I mean, I think there's a lot more if you want to add to it, or you or Patrick.
Yeah. So, Patrick, why don't you talk a little bit about the rewards? That's what has everybody really excited.
Yeah, the rewards are basically the rewards are going to be based on your wins, and you have to collect a certain amount of wins through the week. We know it goes up to 9 wins. We don't know what happens when you get to 9 wins.
Theories.
But the stuff that you can buy from the vendor is based off of 8 wins. So it's like the first 2 wins, you can buy like a little kind of blue tier reward package, and then 3 wins, and then 5 wins is a piece of armor.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then
6 is like silver.
Yeah. And then 8 is a weapon.
I think 7 is a weapon, and 8 is gold tier.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. There's so many facets. Can you describe real quick the win versus loss? You know, we didn't cover that yet.
Yeah, basically, in Trials, you can... The main thing is if you lose three times, you're out. You're done. You have to go buy a new ticket to get in. And that's based on per person on your team. So each person can have a different scorecard. And if one person has three losses, they're going to have to bail out for a second, go buy a new scorecard so they can get back in the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a coin for passage. Where can you get those, actually?
You actually get it from Brother Vance. Mm-hmm. He is the Trials of Osiris vendor, and they're 100 Glimmer. They're fairly cheap. You know, so you'll probably make that in your first gear drop that you dismantle.
Yeah. So that's one way. They will also, you know, apparently drop in, I believe, the Daily Crucible, potentially. Mm-hmm. Maybe a couple other places. I don't know if they were specific beyond. So but you can get the coin for passage in a place or two otherwise.
So there's two different types of currency. There's the Trials Passage, and then there's Trials Coins. Trials Coins, which you get in that package, are used for buying kind of like buffs. That, like, your first loss is forgiven, you start with one win, and your first win counts as two.
That's right. I'm sorry. I mixed that up. The coin, the passage ticket, you can just buy.
Yes.
Or you can trade the one you already have in for a new one.
Yeah, you dismantle it and then start over, I guess.
Yeah.
But just finish it off.
Yeah, they said on the stream you can trade it in. I mean, Patrick, is that what you understood as well? You can trade in your ticket at the end for a new passage ticket. That's what they said on the stream. They weren't specific how it was.
So after you've lost, you can, you know, cash in and buy all your stuff and then just buy a new one. But if you're halfway through, you can just buy a new one, resetting your progress and start with friends.
Right. Well, really all I'm referencing is the stream. They did actually say you can take your lost and the ticket you already have and trade it in for a new ticket.
Okay.
So you may not need to continue to buy them if you finish maybe a complete ticket or something.
Yeah. What's your take, Pat?
I think it's going to be it'll at least track all your wins throughout the weekend, so mm-hmm. it'll like take the most wins out of all the tickets that you had, if I understood that correctly.
Yeah.
The big thing that people are wondering is what's going to happen when you actually reach those 9 wins, because they're being very, very secretive about it.
Yeah, Lars was teasing about it. He's like, wouldn't you like to know?
Well, you guys had a theory, right?
We have a theory that it could be you get the bounty to start out the exotic weapon, Fate of All Fools.
Oh.
Yeah, that's our working theory on it.
That's a good theory.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I mean, they just sort of referenced the 9, because mm-hmm. it's set on 8 wins, so the fact that you can get 9, and we don't know if anyone will be on
that. Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, that's a good point, the Agent of the 9. I didn't think about that either. Is that what you're thinking about, Zur? Yeah. So yeah, maybe it has to do with Agent of the Nine.
Oh wow,
friend,
that's really good. I didn't even think of that. Make that connection.
That's interesting.
The number 9 is like a recurring thing in Destiny 2. Yeah. We have the 9, Agent of the 9. There's just so many things with 9.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be cool. Probably exotic from the sound of it. So
definitely.
Good luck out there getting those 9 wins. It's hard. And also, by the way, what's important is unlike the Crucible, it's not like 3v3 and you get stuck with that team and you're like optimizing
to
beat
them. Oh, I'm going to lose to that team again.
If you win or lose, you go off.
You don't fight that team again.
Yeah, and it's after a round. Yeah. That's the other important part. If you, in your mind you haven't watched the streams, it's not like you go in, your team loses, and you move on. Mm-hmm. It's best whoever gets 5 wins within the round.
Yeah.
Then you have to win 8 rounds to get, you know, without losing 3 rounds to get there, right?
The full match, there's matches, and that's how you get wins on your scorecard. A match is best of 9, so first of 5 out of 9 matches.
Right, yeah, right? But meaning somebody's going to get the 5 first is basically
definitely
what it is.
While not true, they had a lot of 4v4s on the stream where it was Bungie versus Triple Rec.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't think Bungie was holding back. Those
but what
were some
I mean
intense
is,
games.
Yeah, yeah, like you can get as many as 9 matches in, depending on how it goes.
But which, that's, that's going to take
By the way, Patrick, did you catch what happens when, if all the team members go down except for, say, 2v1 and it goes to overtime or whatever? Actually, it's more about the overtime. Oh, yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we actually got to experience that when I was there to test Trials of Osiris as well. Basically, if that 2 minutes goes down and there's still people left up alive, a control point will spawn at a certain point in the map. On Burning Shrine, it's pretty much right around B point, and you can go in there and try to capture it.
Yeah.
Or you can try to kill everyone that's also there to still win the round.
Yep. And yeah, what I was thinking about is what they said was interesting. It's not just capture, but because of illumination style, it can become closest to pin. So if it goes down to two and you like kill one person, but if, or no, I'm sorry, if it was three people and it goes to two, whoever's closest to the pin takes the match.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting if you think about three people running around a capture point. So there's some really interesting levers to pull. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people like about the idea of trials. It's very, there's a lot of strategy and it really rewards good players and good teams.
I am incredibly excited. I want to move on though to the big topic because this is what I've been obsessing over. And this is why Patrick's on the show, basically, to help me be better at trials. The question is, what are the best weapons for Trials of Osiris, PvP weapons, as the game stands now, of course? So let's start by talking about assault rifles. Is there even a viable option there?
No. Trials of Osiris really is about time to kill. You want a very short time to kill. So snipers, hand cannons, those low rate of fire, high impact
scouts
rifles, scout rifles. Like you want to do precision damage as quickly as possible to take someone out, and auto rifles just don't offer that.
A lot of people running around with last words, a few thorns because you get that damage over time.
Some Mida multi-tool, rocking in there a little bit on the stream too.
Yeah, Mida multi-tool is pretty good.
Yeah.
So what are your top three recommended primaries?
Unfortunately, it's really down to the hand cannons right now. Well, almost all hand cannons. Like Hawkmoon and Thorn are definitely my top two picks. Mm-hmm. The third,
I'm gonna use yours, Destin.
My Hawkmoon. Shut up, Frank.
I'll use my Fatebringer.
You don't have one yet.
I'm chasing Fatebringer. He's chasing Hawkmoon. So
gotcha. For my third one, I'd probably say Red Death because that thing is just nasty. Two bursts of the head, great range on it. And the healing aspect in trials is something to take into account as well.
It's going to be very important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll buy you some time. I've noticed some of the new gear right now that you're picking up orbs for health or other things could go a long way in a match like that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Secondarily, let's talk about secondary weapons. Sniper. So we'll start with the sniper class. Praetus Revenge leveled up. That's what I've been using in Iron Banner this week. It's really, really good. And I just got the Iron Banner sniper rifle. Ephrodites, or whatever it's called. And both of those seem like pretty good options. Why don't you talk a little bit about your best sniper loadouts?
Well, I have a pretty dirty role on my LDR. It has surplus and field scout, so I'll spawn in with 12 rounds. And then it also has final round on it. So if I somehow don't kill you if I don't kill you with the first five rounds, the final round will kill you with a body shot.
Mm-hmm.
For sniper rifles, you really want to actually be looking at the aim assist stat. So prudence, patience and time, what's the longbow synthesis? Those are all really high aim assist stats, so it'll really help you out getting your headshots a little bit easier. Praetus and Ephrodites actually have very low aim assist stats, but Praetus makes up for it with its really high fire
speed,
rate stability.
Yeah.
So you can just like pop people in the body. Ephrodites, I'm not a huge fan of it in PvE or in PvP, mainly because the aim assist is too low, the recoil's too high, the rate of fire is too low. And then the aim assist is actually like 10 on it. It's one of the lowest. So you have to be really, really on point with your headshots to actually use it effectively. The one caveat, though, is that you can get a final round roll on it and kill with one shot to the body. That is something to take into account for Ephrodites.
Some people were using shotguns and fusions. I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on that.
I really do think you want someone on your team, maybe a Sunsinger, to be dedicated close range. So they're going to have a shotgun or a fusion rifle, probably a shotgun like a Fellwinter's Lie or a
fusion
or a Secret Handshake from the Vanguard vendor. That's a really good one to pick up.
Just to like get in there and wreck shop when necessary.
So yeah, let me ask you about that Secret Handshake at the Vanguard, though. It doesn't have full auto.
No, it does not.
Yeah, so that's
but it still has a very high rate of fire.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But sorry, what else then were you going to recommend?
Basically, at the start of a match, you're pretty touch and go. You're playing kind of far away. You're trying to pick people off. And then as the match goes on, you're going to end up having to swarm around those last two people, that last person. And if you have a sniper rifle equipped, you're going to be very ill-equipped for some of the closer range encounters, even if your primary is good at it. So having that one dedicated person to kind of go in with a shotgun will definitely be a strategy that you want to take into account.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just team loadout in general, you're going to have somebody from like one of each class, you know, a bubble titan or a, I don't think strikers will be very viable here.
Yeah, that's a good point. You really
are
going to have to
like having a striker on our team. I really enjoyed having a striker on our team. There were a few instances where we were able to Datto was able to clutch a victory for us, and mainly because of his Titan Smash. Like, he could absorb two Golden Gun Blasts mid Titan Smash to get the final kill.
Nice.
So it is something to take into account.
I suppose with the Shockwave, you know, just send the blast towards them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, though. You know, what about three Sunsinger Warlocks with self-res? You know, what could happen?
Yeah.
I mean, it will be interesting to see how people.
We actually saw that in the stream. It was down, the counter was going, and then Sunsinger popped and then got a few reses.
Yeah. But meaning, I think with that as a pretty powerful attribute in this playstyle, depending. But maybe three Warlocks do work in that.
Yeah.
It will. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, but the bubble, I would say, like, is pretty clutch. Jump in there, drop a bubble, res someone, and that can change the match for sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, now too, like, there's. You know, like the which light beyond Nemesis, right? That helmet you can revive more quickly. There's stuff like that you're really gonna have to think about. So,
yeah, we're gonna get to armor in a second.
Oh,
but let's talk about best fusion rifles. Is like Light of the Abyss your only option, really?
No, I actually, it really depends on the type of fusion rifle player that you are. If you like the high rate of fire ones and kind of the lower or the high charge rate ones. Mm-hmm. Light of the Abyss is a definite, really good one. The Calling from, which is a drop from Future War Cult, is another really solid one. But the rolls on that are kind of weird. So Light of the Abyss, just from the raid, is a really solid choice. If you're going for the lower charge rate ones, Plug One from I think the Vanguard vendor. Both fusion rifles from the Vanguard and the Crucible Quartermaster are fantastic. Very high impact. So they're going to be taking someone out from a very far range. Very easily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you like Praetorian foil at all? Have you used it?
I had it for a very brief time.
It's a little slower, but the impact is big.
And it's really good.
It's kind of obsolete now. I mean, there's just too much with the DLC, right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I like it, but I always talk about my Purifier 7, which has the Feeding Frenzy roll on top of, I think, I don't know if his glasses half full, but it just... I can wreck shop with that because it's high impact, like you're saying. So if you find a high impact fusion that has some distance, I do think having that on the team will go well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to machine guns or rocket launchers. Which should you use?
For trials, I'm very steadfast holding to rocket launchers because you don't want to be out in the open too long with a machine gun, even if you have one of those high impact ones. You're still going to have to go pop, 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 and their range isn't as good. And so at the start of a match, like I said, you're going to be spread apart. Mm-hmm. So a rocket launcher just lends itself very well to that. So Radagast Fury from Iron Banner is fantastic. Get a proximity detonation, one of those. The stats you really want to look for are high blast radius and high velocity. Mm-hmm. If it has that, it'll get the rocket quicker to wherever you're shooting it. And the blast radius will take out more stuff. So those are the two things that you'd really want to look for. Stability, who cares? Reload, it doesn't really matter that much.
Mm. Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if truth will now get used a bit more.
What do you think about it?
It might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in Vengeance is one that I can see being used a lot. Because
of
you get
the three
rockets in
right?
the tube with that. So that's a very fantastic one to use for PvP now.
Yeah, we should actually mention how the heavy works. It's only after, is it three?
Three rounds. The first team to hit three rounds will trigger a heavy round. And you have heavy ammo for that round only. It does not carry over to any other rounds. You can only use it right then.
Yeah, and it's just that one time up to getting five, or if you go another three, will it drop again? Do we know?
Nope, just that first
once.
Three.
Yep. Yeah, it's really interesting to control the madness. But I think that's really cool they thought about making sure that it didn't just turn into a rocket fest. And there's a lot of strategy behind that.
What about machine guns? If you do decide to take one in there, what are good options?
Right now, Iron Banner is golding on, or Iron Banner is going on. Go grind that. Get a Jolder's Hammer. That
it has
is
to
one
be
of
a
the,
drop though, right now, right?
It's a drop right now, unfortunately. But play your luck. Try to get one of those because you can roll it to get Perfect Balance or Rodeo as your first one. or as your first perk, Field Scout for 50 rounds, and then something like Crowd Control to increase your damage even more after a kill. Against All Odds is another really good one to pick up. Unfortunately, the role from the Crucible Quartermaster is rather low, or it isn't that good, but it still does have very good impact and rate of fire to kill someone in three headshots.
It's like a 30 clip has decent stability, and it fires really slow, which means you can be more precise with where you're putting those bullets.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if Super Good Advice might apply a little more in here, because it's more forgiving potentially, like you don't have to worry about missing, but maybe not. I don't know if that's even an issue.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was just thinking like Prey and Spray with something like that. You can do it maybe for a longer period of time without worrying. You know what I mean? Because that's the problem with the machine guns, to your point about rockets. Like, you can't stand still for too long. So maybe with something like Super Good Advice, you're not as worried about missing. But I don't know. I haven't tried
it. I wouldn't recommend Super Good Advice at all. That's a close range weapon, if anything. And it's fun to do suppressing fire with it. But when it comes time to actually kill something, you want something that when you actually do hit it, it'll do more damage.
It doesn't have
Super
the impact
advice.
At distance, it sounds like.
Honestly, I think your exotic slot is going to be taken up by your primary. It seems like Hawkmoon or Thorn needs to be there. You know, Hawkmoon with that extra, you know, damage boost on the primary bullet. I really want one. That's why I was so mad when you brought it up. Because I thought, this is the week.
Yeah.
This is the week I'm going to get it. Iron Banner's going on. Nope. Well, still no Hawkmoon.
Hopefully we'll both get, you know, I'll get my Fatebringer and you'll get your Hawkmoon the same week. Yeah. And then it'll never have to talk about it on the show again.
Final question about weapons. What are you going to go in with?
I have my very standard loadout of Hawkmoon, my LDR, and Radagast Fury. Yeah. That is my standard Crucible loadout. I rarely change it. It's taken me a while to find that particular loadout, but that's what works for me 99% of the time now.
Fran?
Hawkmoon.
Just to troll me?
No, legitimately. Okay. For sure. Because actually, that's what I've leaned on for handgun, not Thorn. But Hawkmoon's just, it's really awesome. Don't you? But yeah, Hawkmoon, Purifier, Fusion, and I might try Heezen's Vengeance. Otherwise, I think Hunger of Crota wouldn't be that bad either.
I'm a fan of Hunger of Crota. Its velocity is a little bit too low for me.
That's true. It is a little, that's a good point.
And the main thing is you only get, I think, 3 rounds if you have the heavy ammo increase.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm not, nope, canceled.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with Heezen's or something like that.
Yeah.
Heezen's is a good bet.
So I'm going to go Thorn, Hawkmoon. But what I really like, Hawkmoon if I get it. I used, when we were at Bungie, I used the Vex Mythic class a lot. It actually worked fairly well. And I can usually get double kills with it.
I would like to use Vex.
I'm just better with AR type weapons. So, but
I would use Vex totally.
Well, just because pistols are going to be in there and just destroy you, I'm going to have to get better with Thorn, which is why I've been using it for Iron Banner and whatnot.
If you're a fan of auto rifles, I'd actually recommend Oversoul's Edict, the pulse rifle out of the raid, because it does have automatic fire, and pulse rifles are in a much, much better place than auto rifles. So, if Bungie doesn't address auto rifles, that might be a good substitute for you for now.
Yeah, I've ran in with Oversoul on just PvP in general, and I haven't had a lot of luck, but I don't have it maxed out yet. Mm-hmm. So that was just normalized PvP with the auto fire rate, but I need to get the rest of those stats up. Anyway, secondary, probably Praetus. I really like that sniper rifle a lot, leveled
it's
up.
Fast.
And then Heezen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely going to go Heezen.
Sounds like a good plan. Mm-hmm. I do think to the earlier points, though, like, yeah, maybe it would make sense if, say, I'm running Hawkmoon and you have Vex and we're working together, then you have a different plan than, right, maybe you don't want hand cannons everywhere because if you can help suppress and we stick together, that's where this will
just
be very...
Just lay down fire to suppress them and then you go in for the kill, sort of.
Yeah, it should be very interesting to see, like, how people, like, do stuff. Like, I can even see in matches like this of someone like chucking a grenade out just to see if people will like be drawn to the flame and stuff like that. It's going to be really interesting to see how these matches play out.
Yeah,
definitely.
All right, moving on to our final topic. It's going to be how to build the best armor sets for Trials of Osiris. So this is going to be a lot about your play style and what works. So again, we're going to turn to Patrick. Let's start with hunters. You're a hunter, right?
I am.
Yeah, so what's your ideal intellect?
Intellect.
We're going so intellect, discipline, strength. What's your ideal loadout there?
Well, if you've seen my PvP footage, I use throwing knives a lot. Mm-hmm. So discipline and strength are my two biggest things. However, that's probably not the best thing that you should be going into trials with, because throwing knives are they're really finicky to use. Yeah. So intellect and discipline, I say for pretty much all classes, is going to be what you want to use, because you want your super up quicker to be more of a threat in between rounds. You want your grenades up quicker, because grenades are just devastating when used properly there. Mm-hmm. Strength, you know, I just don't see it being used that much in Trials of Osiris.
Yeah, you're not going to be, if you're up close and you punch somebody, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it's just not a viable option. Yeah. Even with the Titan charge, that won't necessarily drop somebody, especially if power matters, right? So if they have full armor, I think they're left with like a sliver. Like if they have flame shield on and you punch them.
If they have flame shield on, yeah, they'll live. Yeah. But if you're just going up against someone normally, Titan charge will kill them.
I think it does
240 or something.
You actually talked about a loadout where with a bubble punch that actually seemed to work really well.
For normal Crucible, yeah, it works
for
really
crazy
well.
People.
for crazy Titans, so pretty much every normal Titan, if you want to use a defender build where you have a lot of strength and try to keep your force barrier up, and then use the gauntlets that allow you to extend the duration of force barrier, that's an interesting build. It's more for like rumble things like that, but for trials, it won't work too well in there, I don't think.
Probably won't do too well. What about Warlock class? What are they gonna do?
You know, I'm having a very difficult time justifying running anything but Sunsinger.
Yeah.
Because that resurrection, as we saw in the Bungie stream, as I experienced to my dismay, the Sunsinger res is just so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So it enables you to come back from a certain loss. It enables you to kind of help out your teammate a little bit more. You can pop it while you're still alive to mitigate some damage. It's a very, very vital role, I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
In a 3v3 team.
It buffs your teams too if you pop it, right?
You have to spec for the Sunsinger talent, I think.
Yeah, that could be a viable option, though.
That's
you
a
know,
good point.
Everybody has more grenades. Just throw 800 grenades over there and hope you get somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about chess piece then? Like, chess piece, are you going to use your helm? Like, Praxic is the one that gives you the extra grenade, right?
Heart of the Praxic Fire.
Starfire Protocol gives you
sorry.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Starfire Protocol gives you two fusion grenades.
Right.
Personally, I as far as class loadouts go, I think at least two people on your team should be running the Resurrection armor piece, whatever it is for your class.
Mm-hmm.
Because if two people have it, that means everyone will benefit. Even if that one person goes to res the other guy, they'll be able to benefit from it. And then if the two guys that have the chest or the armor piece, that'll stack and be a really, really quick res.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's something to take into account.
Yeah, I mean, I do think, you're just saying on the quick res, make sure that at least one or two people, you were saying two, you think need
I'm
to make sure?
I'm saying two, because that means everyone's covered. Absolutely everyone's covered.
Yeah.
It's a good point. So it's like I normally wouldn't wear the Light Beyond Nemesis helm, but in this case, I think it's going to make a lot
of sense. In this case, resurrections really matter. In normal 3v3, who cares? But in trials, you need to be paying attention to resurrections. You want to be spending as little time rezzing, as much time evading or, you know, attacking.
Yeah, and I think with that helm, you can actually run by and you can hold down the res. You don't have to stop. So,
All right, so here's my loadout. Let me know what you guys think. I'm going to run a Titan, 50% intellect, 100% bonus on discipline, and a little bit in strength, like 50 value in strength, not 50%. It'll give you like a 15 to 20% boost there.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly, I really, really want the intellect and discipline boost. Discipline has to be at 100. And for chess piece, I'm going to run Armamentarium, so I just have a grenade at all times.
Yep.
What do you guys think of that? That's my plan.
Sounds like a good plan. I mean, I think it depends on play styles.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said you're going to be a striker or a defender?
I'll probably do striker. But if I have to switch it up, I'll just go to bubble, you know?
Yeah. Lightning grenade, having two lightning grenades is brutal in PvP. Being able to either keep people from, you know, going one area, you can lock off something, you can finish off one person, tossing that on top of a Sunsinger's body just in case they happen to res. It's powerful.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was really wondering how bodyguarding and stuff will end up going, and a match like this. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Do you know what you're going to run?
I don't yet. Like I said, I normally wouldn't wear Light Beyond Nemesis. It sounds like I need to adapt to wearing something like that. It sounds really smart. For sure, I will be Sunsinger. I tend to like the Starfire Protocol, though, and this is where there's a problem with the exotics. Mm-hmm. I like it because I love Angel of Light. That's the ability to hover, and I love having two grenades while I do that. So, I don't know. I think I got to figure out if I need two grenades is really what it's going to come down to.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just want to – I love Angel of Light. It's just awesome. You know, sometimes I'll do it. You hold it and you hover a little bit, and it's just a cool perk. So I don't know. We'll see. You know, I like thinking about obviously discipline and intellect, but part of it too is those only go so far. You know, the armor perks like we're talking about, two grenades or a quick res can go maybe even farther than recharging some of your stuff.
You have to balance it, right?
Indeed. So it's going to take a lot of like playing around. I mean, I think the weapon sets are probably the first place to start. Because if you don't have that right, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Well, armor is very important, but weapons also, which we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to have a solid loadout that you're familiar with using.
Right.
Patrick, what's your loadout going to be?
I'm probably just going to go in there with my current loadout, which is Knucklehead Radar as my exotic. I really like having my radar up at all times with my primary. Mm. I really like the awareness that it gives. That's my main thing. Plus, it gives strength, which is my discipline strength, is my current loadout. And then gauntlets that give hand cannon reload. So that's what I'm going to be going in there
with
this, at the start. I can see myself changing depending on what the new exotics actually do.
Yeah. We don't know much about them yet.
We really don't know. We know that the RAM for Warlocks looks amazing.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
It does look awesome. True. What does it do? Yeah, I mean, they have new perks and stuff that we're not totally aware of yet, so it'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, hey, Patrick, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you, though, for coming on the show and talking about stats and everything. It was a pretty high-level show today. We talked a lot about, you know, hyper-analytical stuff with Trials of Osiris and how we're going to go into it. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Fran, you wanted to plug some stuff.
Yeah. Well, maybe just first, again, as a reminder, where can everybody find you, Patrick?
You can find us at planetdestiny.com, or if you want to contact me, Holtzman, HOLTZMANN_PD on Twitter. You can find me there.
Cool. Yeah, just a reminder, you know, where to find IGN and the Fireteam chat. You can watch us on Xbox One app. You can watch it on your PlayStation 4 app. You can download the podcast on iTunes. And if you do, be sure to drop us a review. Take a moment to do that. The podcast actually has been doing really well on there.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can find us on YouTube and many other places. And thank you guys, everyone, for watching. And also get in the comments. You know, I just want to address, and there's going to be now more comments. But there's a lot of haters that ask, why do you still play Destiny? And it just kind of irks me. So get in the community. Right, if you're listening, it would really be awesome to see you in there. And actually, I hop in the comments. Destin does.
I try not to get mad, but I usually do.
Yeah, I know, for sure. I mean, it's just nice to interact with you guys. And then I'm always looking to play raids and stuff too with folks. FM3 is my PlayStation name. I actually have a stack of invites that I need to get through because I'm reading if there's a message in there. I'm taking that time. So sorry if I haven't gotten back to you, but love the Fireteam chat crew that's out there. So thanks, everybody, for watching and listening.
Yeah, and follow our Facebook group. It's Fireteam Chat on Facebook.
Yeah.
And if you ever want to play with me, just follow me on Twitter, at Destin Legarry. Every once in a while, I put a call out like, hey, I need help. Anybody around, send me your PSN. And yeah, that's probably the best way to play with me. Unfortunately, I have like 700 friend requests, and I can't accept them all because PlayStation goes down.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah.
Anyway, Twitter's a great way to do it. So.
Yeah, Twitter's a great way to just like, you know, interact and
looking for groups and matches.
Looking for groups, etc. Thanks, everybody. That's all we have time for today. Fran, you want to do this in unison?
Yes, I do.
All right, that's it.
Guardians out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.